home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are a positively into a birthday week without a crab cake tour, but we had such a nice crab cake and we had a whole pizza and I can go get more pizza. I didn't even get any cheesesteaks when I was at a Pizza John's on Friday. You'll hear those conversations from our birthday celebration. It was Luke's birthday, Leonard's birthday, my birthday, Jim Palmer's birthday, Thomas Dolby's birthday, Stacy Keebler's birthday, all of our birthdays, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Raven scratch-offs to give away, lucky batches. We're putting the crab cake tour back together. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as our friends at Curio Wellness, sending us out on the road to do 26 oysters in 26 days. We have a fancy new logo up on the front of the website that I will get here to our video operation at some point this week. But Baltimore, Washington, Todd Rundgren, the death of the late great Phil Jackman of the Evening Sun, who you will hear this week. But man, Baltimore versus Washington itself is something to be celebrated when you're my age, Luke. But more than that, I think about the history of the Steven Davis game or the Haskins game, these games that didn't matter so much on their side because they've not been good at all, mattered on our side most of these years because we've been decent, but certainly hasn't felt like my team's better than your team or what Tony Romo, and by the way, what a terrible broadcast, Tony Romo, and I'm not usually hard on broadcasters, but thumbs down on that. That, you know, they called the bragging rights for 4 years in the DMV. We're not in the DMV, we're Baltimore. But we won. And I guess we learned they have a quarterback, but the thing that I learned when tickets were $300 on game day and the weeks leading up to it, and they were $100 2 weeks ago, like they should have been, but all of their fans bought all of the tickets and all of the and didn't have to get on a plane to do it, and they drove in. You were there. I witnessed it on TV. On TV, it was alarming. I mean, it was like, wow, because I think they had a lot of the better tickets. I don't know what the roof looked like. I know you only have access to so much of the stadium from the Kevin Byrne press box where you sit in the corner now. But what did you make of the whole thing? Because it was a carnival atmosphere only brought on, and I guess the Philly fans will come down in 6 weeks. Maybe the weather won't be as good. But when the place fills up and it gets a big game, the city comes to life.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a good atmosphere. I mean, certainly there were Washington fans. I mean, you know, people always ask me what's the ratio? Like I have any like specific skill to really try to parcel that out when it's 70,000 people and oh yeah, I'm trying to pay attention to a football game too. But look, whatever it was, 8,000, 10,000, whatever, you know, I don't think it was. You know, it wasn't half and half or anything like that, but they were loud and they were excited and they're passionate and they're enthused and they're galvanized by the fact that, as I said in a previous segment, I mean, they have new ownership that can actually sell hope with Jaden Daniels, which they haven't really had until, you know, going back to Robert Griffin III for 5 minutes, right? And you hope Jaden Daniels stays healthy, and obviously that knee injury derailed RG3 in his rookie year that was sensational. But you know, I it's such a weird dynamic because you know you're only guaranteed to play one real game every 4 years. I mean, now you have that 17th game that you can get a stray one in there every now and then, depending on what place each team fits or finishes in, and so you could have a few more. But you know, yeah, there's some bragging rights, and yeah, I mean, Kyle Hamilton and some other players have even talked about. I mean, they. You know, some of the Ravens players know Commanders players locally, and these guys, they're in their early to mid 20s. They have a social life, and sometimes they might even venture out into DC or wherever and run into guys. So there's a little bit of that, but we know that there's no real rivalry, right? And so much of that is Washington not being very good for the last quarter century. The team's not playing very frequently. And let's face it, a lot of the bitterness that was there from the older generations and even say my age, who didn't experience the Colts, but certainly remembers Jack Kent Cook wanting to brand Baltimore as his NFL territory for the longest time. You know, that wanes over some time, right? And I'm not saying whether it should or not, whether that's good or bad or not. I just think it's reality. And I'm not saying that it's not there anymore, but it's certainly not there in the way that Ravens fans were juiced up when Bam Morris ran for a buck 30 against them at down at Raljan in 1997, right? In the rain. So you lose some of that over time, but I think this has the potential to be something that can be fun beyond Washington ending the Ravens preseason winning streak last summer, which got attention for 5 minutes, if you recall.
Well, it's
But
almost like the franchise didn't exist for a long stretch of time to any of us. To any of us. In the same way that they probably would have said that, I had our Skins fans years ago that didn't take our purple Barney jerseys seriously in the beginning. Like, we're not a real franchise. You're not a real thing. The Orioles probably felt that way to a lot of the Nationals fans when they're winning championships. But it's been forever. I mean, the angst that I once had for the Irsay family, even for the Steelers, the angst you would have for the Yankees, that other team or whatever. I grew up in an environment here in the 80s and 90s where everyone here universally hated them for what they represented to our city and keeping football out of our city. And that was very real. That's not some bullshit made up. Their owner
Agreed,
tried
yeah.
to make the concept of the Baltimore Ravens not exist.
Right. Well, and look, I agree. I mean, I hated
Your
that
father knew
franchise.
that for sure.
Yeah, no question. That said, with any rivalry, if it's going to persist, let alone grow, you still need something that's feeding the fire. And there just hasn't been anything to feed that fire for most of the last 25 years, right? I mean,
It
it's just
wasn't
the
even
truth.
fun like going down the Nissan Pavilion or Jiffy Lube Live or the Warner Theater and putting a Raven hat on and even making them eat it. Like,
I mean,
that wore off 15 years ago, like literally.
right. I mean, we've even talked about it. And look, the Ravens and the Steelers play twice a year. The Steelers, despite the fact that the Ravens have been better in the regular season for several years now, the Steelers have still figured out a weird way to have their number. But we've even agreed that Ravens Steelers isn't quite what it used to be when you lose Hall of Fame, over the top bravado, brash personalities that this rivalry had for the longest time. Of course, you're going to go through ebbs and flows as far as that goes. But with this Washington thing, you didn't even have that, right? I mean, you don't play. And again, forget about preseason games. Forget about joint practices. Like, when you don't play a real game more often than every 4 years, I mean, it's really difficult to cultivate anything there. Even the Orioles and Nationals play every year at the very least.
Well, I'll give you an
So,
example. I'm an old Oiler fan. Everybody knows that. I was wearing my Oiler gear over the weekend, my Earl Campbell throwback for my birthday. They always wanted that Cowboy Houston thing to mean something, and Texans Cowboys. But you move the Astros from the National League into the American League and put them in a division. That's a thing. That's a
Yeah,
thing.
sure. No question. So everything you mentioned about Washington 30 and 40 years ago was absolutely true, but you need something to feed the fire over time, and there just hasn't been. So maybe that happens now with Jaden Daniels. Look, I mean, these teams aren't guaranteed to play again until 2028, unless, that 17th game it works out, where they play, or they see each other in the Super Bowl. I mean, boy, if you want to talk about starting a Baltimore Washington football rivalry, meeting in a Super Bowl would certainly do it, but I
Well, they
don't
have the
think that's.
quarterback to do it now. I think
He
if
might.
nothing else we learned on Sunday, that
Sure.
kid's a real player. And if he stays healthy, God willing, whatever,
Maybe.
they're going to be a something over the next 5 years to say that there's going to be more of a measurement point somewhere around Columbia or Bowie or Laurel.
No question. No question. So you have some of that. I mean, there's always. It's always persisted in terms of there were Baltimore people and Colts people who did adopt Washington. I'm not saying a lot, but there were, and I even know a couple in the course of my life. And then you had many, many more who rejected that premise. So you have, I know people, I have people in my life who kind of sort of gave up on Washington and kind of started liking the Ravens more, right? So you have some of that. I mean, we always think about these things in absolutes, but there are always shades of gray, even with fandom. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to have something that's going to evolve into, I don't even want to call it a rivalry, because again, they're just not going to play enough, but at least trying to one up one another, at least paying attention to the other side a little bit more often. Then sure, Jaden Daniels arriving on the scene, and look, they still have a ways to go. They got to put the right players around him. They need to have the right coaching around him long term. I think they're off to a great start, but we've also seen, like I said, Robert Griffin, 12 years ago at this time was the toast of this market in terms of what he was doing. He was the toast of the NFL. And then we saw what happened. So you pray for good health for anyone. I'm not going to wish ill will on anyone from a health standpoint as it pertains to football or anything. But, so they have a ways to go. But yeah, this feels like for the first time in a long time that, the Ravens have been in that space for several years now, waiting for them to take the next step and get back to a Super Bowl. But for Washington to even be in that conversation where you say, okay, the NFC East, Philly doesn't look very good right now. The Giants are not good. The Cowboys are not good. Washington looks like the best team in that division right now. So, what's the next step for them? And again, at some point in time, whenever these teams might cross paths again, who knows? Could be 4 years or could be February or next February or something like that. Who knows? It is more fun. It certainly adds some juice. As a Ravens fan, certainly you don't want to see people come into your stadium, but Ravens fans go into other team stadiums all the time. We see that. So I think it's, especially when you talk about such close proximity, I think there are very, very few places where you're not going to have some of that. I think the secondary ticket market, we know how many secondary options and brokers out there own season tickets. We know what teams do in terms of putting tickets out on the secondary market across sports. Right or wrong, we know that happens. We've talked about it. We talked about it with the Orioles. We talked about it with other teams. So I think it's tough to ever be in a position to truly keep opposing fans out entirely. And yeah, you got a Washington team that a fan base that's starved for anything to be excited about, and they've got this amazing, encouraging young rookie quarterback who is playing well. And oh yeah, it's also their first chance to watch their team in Baltimore play Lamar Jackson, who is one of the very best, most popular players in the NFL. And you get a chance to go see them there and watch Lamar play. Keep in mind, in 2020, when the Ravens played down in Landover, that was a COVID year. There were no fans. So I think there's also some of that. It's not just Washington being excited about their own team. I still think we underestimate at times, as much as it's crazy to say that because we talk about them all the time, but the Lamar factor is real. Other teams, other fan bases, we saw this in London last year. People want to watch Lamar Jackson because he's pretty darn special playing football. So I think that probably factors in at least a little bit as well. But yeah, it was a sizable portion of the crowd, and I wasn't surprised to see that. I saw the secondary market just like you. You knew that wasn't Ravens fans paying $300, $400, $500 a pop as you looked on some of the StubHub and what have you. But at the same time, I think it was fun, and we got a good football game out of it, and the Ravens got a win, and this just ups the challenge in 4 years for the Ravens to go down to their place and take over their stadium, which we know that's happened in the past as well.
Now I know how Giants Jets feels, or whatever. Luke
Yeah.
Jones is here. Baltimore, greater than Washington yet again. We'll be hearing from Phil Jackman a little bit here this week. So if you hear Phil's name or voice, we lost one of the great godfathers to WNST and my uncle Phil, as I always said around here. If you hear him talking about Muhammad Ali or Yastrzemski or Earl Weaver. All of that will be going on this week here. And it's also a birthday week for both Luke, myself, Leonard Rask. We ate pizza. We had crab cakes at Pizza John's and learned how the pizzas were made and discussed pineapple pizza. How dare we discuss something so controversial here on AM radio? I guess I'll leave you with this, just the big picture of extra day for Tampa. Probably a little bit of a respite mini bye for the team to take maybe Tuesday and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday off, a little bit of a breather at this point in the season for a team that I don't think it needs it. I mean, felt like they needed it more a month ago than they do now. 4-game winning streak. Everybody loves them long time. Everybody's healthy. Boy, I mean, the scope of this is really sky's the limit in all of that for where they are. But more than that, Tampa, Cleveland, you take the next quartile, as Billick would always say, and you know what these next couple of games will be for them. Winnable football games here. I mean, they're in a top five position in the league because they've looked like that football team.
Yeah, and really they've looked that way since the first two games. I mean, even the Dallas game, as weird and as unnerving as that got at the end, let's keep in mind what they did to Dallas the first three quarters. And now, granted, the Cowboys certainly aren't looking like anything special, and that's putting it kindly. But yeah, these next 2 weeks, even though you look at it and say back-to-back road games, that's always a challenge, especially with that second one coming after a Monday night road game. We know that that's a challenge. At the same time, look, Tampa Bay, the Ravens can't take lightly. This Buccaneers team is scoring points. Baker Mayfield's playing at a high level. They certainly have talent at the wide receiver position. So, I mean, the Ravens' deep pass defense going to be under the spotlight again. I mean, I expect Lamar and this offense to score points because that's what they do. I mean, they're going to score. They've done that six games. Even the first two games, it's not like they got help. They were held to 10 points or anything like that, even in those two games. And they've been at just rolling ever since. But, you know, are they going to be able to stop Mike Evans and Godwin? And, you know, you look at their assortment of weapons. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's an opportunity, as you mentioned, with an extra day to rest up a little bit, but also for this defensive coaching staff that, yes, includes Dean Pease now to look at things, continue to tweak things, make adjustments, maybe make personnel changes. I mean, as I mentioned, kind of in passing, we saw Ardarius Washington kind of step in as that third safety as the second half went on Sunday, rather than Eddie Jackson.
Put some stickum on his jersey is what I say.
Yeah, sure.
Catch a
Yeah. Oh,
ball.
yeah. As much as I like Ardarius Washington, that was such a bad attempt at trying to catch a football. That wasn't, that's not going to be on his highlight video that he has that he shows his kids one day. But you know, I mean, it's an opportunity. And then even on the back end, you know, regardless of what happens against Tampa Bay, I mean, to you said it earlier, better beat Cleveland. I mean, this is a Browns team that right now, I mean, they're circling the drain. Deshaun Watson this isn't not playing up to a contract, right? We've seen plenty of quarterbacks. Joe Flacco was accused of that late in his career with the Ravens, right? Deshaun Watson's been one of the very worst quarterbacks in football this year. Statistically, analytically, he's awful. Not mediocre, not, oh, he's overpaid. He's been terrible. Terrible.
Giving them no chance to win.
Right. I mean, they would be better off putting Jameis Winston in there. And I don't say that as someone who thinks Jameis Winston's a heck of a backup quarterback, but he's kind of in the position he is at this point because of the erratic play that he's
Imagine all
shown over
these
his career.
Browns fans pissed off as they've always, I mean, they're just always pissed off. They're Browns fans, right? Watching Flacco perform. Like
Sure. Oh.
how crazy that is.
I mean, they didn't want to lose. They wanted to keep him in the offseason. I get why Cleveland did what they did. You know, I mean, you want to talk about a built-in, like, begging for a distraction. I mean, they would have been calling for Flacco in week one with Watson, the way he's played. But yeah, you look at these two games. I mean, the Ravens have a great chance here to be 6-2, and that we know that's not the official halfway point, but it's close enough still. And on the other side of that, you know, they play home against Denver. That's another very winnable football game. And then after that, home against Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, at the LA Chargers, home against Philadelphia. So the schedule there, not saying that's impossible by any stretch of the imagination. All those teams are going to look at the Ravens and say, oh, we got to play the Ravens. But certainly you look at these next 3 weeks, I mean, you've got a chance to, man, you can leave that 0-2 start, I mean, completely in the dust. You know, you could be in a position where, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say the Ravens can't be 7-2 3 weeks from now. They got to go play good football on the road these next 2 weeks, especially against Tampa Bay, who is, you know, certainly you know, a formidable offense, you know, formidable opponent. But you know, they've got a great opportunity here to be going into that Thursday night, November 7th game against Cincinnati, and who knows what the Bengals are going to be at that point. I think you and I and plenty of people, despite their record, are not ready to write them off, especially if they can figure out their defense even a little bit. But where are the Bengals at that point? That could be a huge game, not just for the Ravens in terms of the division, but also know, if the Bengals stub their toe even once, or let alone twice over the next month, I mean, that's a game that could completely bury them, right? So that's going to be a big one. You know, November, there's some big matchups coming up, and
Well, Bengals have Browns, Eagles, Raiders before we get to them. So, and home games, Eagles and the Raiders are home games. They're at Cleveland next week. So, I don't know. Are they 3-0 on their way? Are they 5-4 by the time they get there? 4-5, whatever. 4-5, you're hanging around. If they're at 4-5 and we make them 4-6 even, they're still hanging around at
But
a
that
point.
lead, it does mathematically, yes. But at that point, you're looking at
By the way,
needing
their end of
to.
the season schedule, really a lot of winnable games.
Oh, no question.
Their schedules, Chargers, Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos. They have Titans, Browns, Broncos, and then the Steelers at the end I mean, they have winnable games. They really do.
They do. Right. And I'm not writing them off. However, if they're going to go on the kind of run that they're going to need to go on to really put themselves firmly back in the mix of this, I mean, their defense has to play better. To their credit, hey, their defense played pretty well against the Giants, and it's for whatever that's worth. I mean, it's the Giants.
By the
Oh,
way, the
they're.
Christmas game with the Ravens and the Texans looms, doesn't it?
Ooh.
That's an
Well,
interesting one.
I mean, we were talking about that even when that came out. I mean,
But
I'm a
that's the
big.
next one I'm looking at and saying, boy, that's a tough one. I mean, the Eagles is, Eagles coming. I think they're half of what they are. And oh, by the way, Jim Harbaugh, we play the Chargers,
Sure.
obviously, that Thanksgiving and the AFib and this and that. And his brother got pulled off the podium, right? I mean, I'm not a media member
It's a
anymore, so
scary couple minutes. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
it was great to hear. You know, I mean, obviously he came back to the sideline, and you know, he's had this heart issue that it's something he's had to manage in recent years. But yeah, I think there was a, you know, there was definitely a sense of, you know, John wanting to find out, like, at least, hey, like, you know, is this really, really serious? Is this semi-serious? Like, what's going on? So fortunately, you know, he's back on the sideline and seems to be okay. But yeah, I mean, it's they're the Chargers. You know, I can't figure them out just yet. You know,
Well, they have a
I
quarterback. I mean, I'll give that kid
sure.
that.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Herbert. I mean, it's I'm fascinated to see, you know, where they're going to go as the year goes on. You know, they just put Gus Edwards on IR, unfortunately, for the former Raven. But hey, J.K. Dobbins has done a nice job for them. And, you know, it seems like they're having some pass catching weapons start to emerge a little bit here and there. Obviously, a lot of turnover there. No Keenan Allen anymore, no Mike Williams. So, I mean, they've turned things over. I mean, it's Greg Roman. So, how much do they want to throw to wide receivers anyway, right? I mean,
Well, it's
that was
amazing. You
always the
look at the
joke,
Ravens
but.
schedule, the Bengals schedule, how much they do mirror each other. We play the same teams. It feels like the ones in the hopper to go, we're going to see these teams and they're going to see these teams too, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But
So,
I only
I
see
mean, yeah,
two or
but.
three games on the Ravens schedule where I'm going to look at and say, they might lose two or three more. I mean, what's that put them at 12, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there based on how they're going to play. This
You
is a
hope,
really,
yeah.
this is a This is a great opportunity for the Ravens. And I think in beating the Washington football team the way they did, this Tampa game, national TV with what's happened down there, and pass rush on Baker Mayfield this week. We're going to be talking a lot about that.
No question about it. No question. I mean, again, they've got to get heat on him. They've got to disrupt. It's a Buccaneers offense that has put up points. I mean, they've scored points, and Baker Mayfield has found a career renaissance there. You know, that I don't think many people expected. I mean, keep in mind, it wasn't just being thrown out of Cleveland. This guy flamed out in Carolina. He was with the Rams for a minute. You know, was okay there. I mean, won that one game on what was there 2 days and won a game, so wasn't all bad, but. I mean, he was very much turning into the journeyman backup. You know, that's what his profile was very much looking like it was going to be, kind of like Sam Darnold until he got to Minnesota. But you know, he's certainly turned things around. And hey, with the way this Ravens pass defense is playing, you can't make any assumptions, right? You got to get better, got to get better, got to keep chasing that. I mean, they've got to figure that out. They did certain things, and at times they made some plays on Sunday, but you know, still gave up 269 passing yards
If
to a
they
rookie
lose, it's going
quarterback.
to be the secondary. It's not going to be because Lamar kicked the ball around or Justin Tucker missed a kick or whatever. If they're in a bad circumstance to lose the game, it's going to be because of the back end.
I mean, you think so? I mean, look, any team, I mean, Patrick Mahomes turns the ball over sometimes, right? At times he turns it over a lot, right? I mean, that was kind of the story about his regular season last year. So you never really know, but yeah, if you're
handicapping the way that the Ravens lose a game at this point in time? Of course it's their pass defense. I mean, the numbers don't lie. They've been.
But then that takes a quarterback at least as good as Gardner Minshew.
Well, who's
Yeah,
been
you
since
know.
been benched.
And
Well,
that's why I
so.
look at Baker Mayfield and I look at Justin Herbert on the road and I look at Texas the Texans later in the year. More than Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, or certainly more than Deshaun Watson or some of the lesser lights, but we saw a really good quarterback here on Sunday, and they did enough at home to win. But that goes back to Henry, the offensive line, and what they're producing on offense is
Yeah.
deodorizing what a kid in his sixth game did to them defensively on Sunday.
Right. And that's where you keep coming back to just how dynamic, how efficient, how explosive, how unpredictable this offense has been, and how much of a difference that makes. Look, I agree. I've talked about the pass defense a lot. It needs to get better. At the same time, I don't care how good the opposing offense is. If they don't have a defense that can't get a couple stops, and ultimately Washington could not get a couple stops in that second half, it's still incredibly difficult to beat this football team right now. So, Ravens are feeling good, not perfect by any means, but really trending in a positive direction, trending up to say the least. So, we'll see how they fare going down to Tampa Monday night. And to your point, with everything. Not just that team, but obviously what's been going on in that area with the devastation with the hurricane and all that. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond. And certainly, hey, you go on the road for a prime time game, you better come out playing well, because typically you're going to expect to get the best out of that home team and that home crowd.
I'm going to have you do the Pete Johns commercial because you have Pete Johns hat on. True or false? There's Pete Johns leftovers in your fridge right now. True or false?
True.
Oh, there is. Oh, there. Okay. So you
Oh,
took enough
because
home
I
to
was away.
last. Okay,
It's
good.
because I was away. The truth, though, you don't want to know how much? One slice is left. So that's going to be my lunch.
You
That's
better
my
hurry.
Monday
If your
after.
brother
Yeah.
steals that. So if your brother
Right.
steals that slice, what happens in your house?
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm benevolent. I'm charitable about it. I split it with them. I mean,
Right.
you were so kind, and Pizza John's was so kind to send me home with a couple pies and
Wait, what
split
did you
it.
get? What kind of, I like to know this because I never did
Oh,
ask.
I did pepperoni on one, and I did meat sauce on the other. Those are,
Just
I
that's just
mean,
one and 1A. Okay.
or sometimes I will combine them. I like both on at the
Well,
same
you're
time,
not
but
pepper, onion, sausage, the
nah.
olives,
I mean, I'm
nothing. No.
generally speaking, that's not me with most pizzas out there.
So when
Whether
you
you're
go
talking
down to
chains
your
or.
place down in Wildwood, you're just cheese or cheese and
That's just
pepperoni?
cheese. That's just
Just cheese.
cheese.
Oh,
Yeah.
I'm just asking, man.
No,
I'm
no,
just.
no. I'm weird. I admit that. That's
Let me say
fine.
something really weird about pizza because I go to New York all the time, and I'm kind of hankering New York. I'm pissed that we didn't go to the game. I'm literally like, I was ready to go to the Yankees games last week. I'm
Yeah.
watching them play. I'm looking at Janet Marie Smith out in L.A. and saying, "Please stay in World Series next week in Dodger Stadium." And by the way, your dude, David Gilmour, is playing the Hollywood Bowl 2 weeks from now in L.A. Oh, shout out to Mike Rosenfeld, our chief intelligence officer, information officer around here. He went to Royal Albert Hall to see David Gilmour the other night. He sent me a picture.
That's awesome.
1 o'clock in the
What an ex.
afternoon on Saturday, I get a picture. He's in front of this building, and I'm looking, and I'm like, that looks like it's 8 o'clock. He's in Royal. That's Dave Gilmour. That's Pink Floyd. I mean,
That's an experience right there.
So I got to get him on the show next week too. So, but the pizza thing, when I go to New York, now you've never really, well, you and I have seen rats together in the Bronx. We've never really hung out together in Manhattan, which I love. I've had 100 slices of pizza in New York and 50 different places. I have discovered a place that I go, and I take my wife there every time. Like I discovered about 2 years ago, and it's on Broadway at 27th. It's in the middle of the middle of the middle. It's a newish place. They always say if they make a pizza in that oven since 1952, don't buy it in New York or whatever. And it's a place called Traditas. You can look it up. It's the little sub shop place. And it's sort of in that Macy's area, but not. It's a newish place. And I saw the pizza in the window, and I went in, it smelled good. And I looked at the 15 pies they have New York style there. And I picked out, of all things, because people see me eating at Pizza John's, they see all these toppings and pineapple and ham and pepperoni, and they think I'm Gucci. And I'm a Gucci biatch. Ask anybody. I get
a margarita. It's just a little sliver of cheese and fresh basil on it. And it's the plainest, craziest thing. It's outrageous. I mean, it's just cheese, sauce, dough, and a little bit of basil. And that's it. And I go to New York, and that's what I get. When I'm in Essex, supreme peppers, I throw it all on there. I'm not that way in New York. And that's weird. So when you say you eat cheese pizza and that's your thing, I, as much as I love Pizza John's, I can't wait to get back to New York and have just a slice of that plain nothingness that I wind up. I have one slice and I go outside and I eat it and I stay within the block and I run back in and get another slice because I can't just have one.
Well, I've been told, and I could be completely wrong on this. I haven't spent that much time in New York City, but I've always heard that the benchmark for New York pizza is to have it plain like
Right,
that.
have cheese. Right.
Don't throw so much stuff on it that you can't really taste the quality of the pie. Anyway,
All right, I
but
like that.
yeah, I mean, I vary and I like some other toppings here and there, but that's for other pizza places,
You
certain
know, if you
pizza.
would have put your press pass down for Yankees all games home, you know, next week, maybe we could go up and have a pie. You know what I mean? Maybe we. Yeah. Anyway, Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. He's eating Pizza John's pizza. We've been eating Pizza John's pizza. We had a great time on Friday. We did our Maryland crab cake tour. They don't just have a crab cake there. And I would say this: it is in the Pappas family of crab cake, the recipe.
It's
So if
very
you,
legit. It's very good.
oh right, you took one home to your mother,
It's
right?
good. It's good. Well, my mom, great. I said this in our previous segment. She, for whatever reason, doesn't love Pizza John's pizza. I think it's crazy, but hey, to each their own. She always has gotten the cheesesteak and the crab cake sub there, and she's loved it for years. So she's known that they have a good crab cake. So yeah, it's an underrated crab cake that people don't know about because they just, hey, you go to Pizza John's, you get pizza. Right? Imagine that,
You
but
mentioned
it's very.
controversy, man. I did the pineapple pie thing, and John Rollo, who is bigger than me, came on the website and said the cheesesteaks might be better than the pizza.
They
And I
do have
said
good
to him, you
cheesesteaks.
know what? I mean, we discussed this, that I've discovered my way now to not put my tomatoes and lettuce or any toppings on. I just go double provolone
Okay.
cheesesteak, and then I bring it home and I doctor it up when I get it home because my wife likes pickles and weird ish on her thing, and I like lettuce tomato. And when you go to Philadelphia and you say lettuce and tomato, they look at you like
Oh, yeah.
Dick
That's a
Girardi looked at me. We were at Joe's
major faux pas.
up in Philly. He's like, "You're having a tourist cheesesteak in Philly?" And I'm like, "Onions make me flatulent, Dick." He's like, "Enough said. Get the lettuce and tomato." Luke Jones is here. Hopefully our content doesn't make you flatulent this week. But we are bursting over with a lot of hot air here. We have a lot of conversations this week with Phil Jackman, my dear friend, the Godfather, one of the Godfathers of W. And I feel terrible that I did the documentary and only mentioned John Steadman and Charlie Ekman. So I owe Phil big time this week, especially. But I have unearthed the Jackman tapes. And I'm going to find that little savvy thing I put up and the Wimbledon. I don't think I have a picture of Phil and I, but I'm going to start looking hard for it this week. Phil was buried on my birthday this week on Monday, and we are going to honor him on Tuesday and Wednesday. You're going to hear a lot of Phil Jackman here. Ali stories, Dostremski stories, old Earl Weaver stories, hockey stories. Oh, Luke, I unearthed a whole thing on journalism, newspapers. Phil was the TV repairman. Phil was nasty before you were allowed to be nasty, before there was Twitter, before any of that. Phil would really hold to task John Buren and Jack Dawson. And thank God, me. By the time I came around, it was Milton Kent and Ray Frazier pooping on me, which was bad enough, which who I both saw at Guinness 2 weeks ago and had a beer with. But Phil was the original TV repairman. And Phil didn't like my show. Like, he used the euphemism that if I heard Phil say it in his voice, I hope I have him on tape saying it, but I don't think I do. It's an FCC violation, probably, but not the way he said it, because he said it with a New England accent. If he saw me at a game in 1998 or 98 or 98, 99. I've been on the air 6, 7 years, nasty nasty. Even when I was syndicated, although that took it a long way. Once I got syndicated, Phil was like, "You're on 400 stations. You must be doing something right." But before that, he would say to me, "Yeah, show. It's horseshit. It's horseshit," is what he would say. So I brought Phil in 2003, and he was on. He was on talking about his life, the industry. I am so thrilled that I did it. Ray Bachman, shout out to you because I know you were part of that back in 2003 as well. So we have hours of Jackman. Be the final time you hear him here on WNST. So tune it up, tune it in. It'll be out of Baltimore Positive. It'll be up at the podcast audio vault. Luke's going to be covering football, and we're going to be arguing about baseball. We had a great baseball conversation on Friday at Pizza John's with my dearest friend, John Keller, who serendipitously just showed up at Pizza John's. His girl ordered the stuffed shells. Who orders pasta at Pizza John's? What's wrong with you people? Apparently, it's pretty good. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNSD, AM 1570, celebrating birthdays, the loss of Phil Jackman, the defeat of the Washington football team, hockey season, and Ovechkin looks twice as old as I do. We have a lot of things going on around here. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.